us at 10:30. Of course, we've got Thursday night Bible study, you know, for question and answer. All that will still be going on. They divide out down in Kansas City, divide out into groups of 10. And so you'll see 10 heads on the screen. And then, but yeah, let's make sure we all keep in touch with each other. Keep close tabs. Agreed?
For sure.
Yes. All right. Yes.
Oh, can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Okay, so just to make sure you understand, I heard part of, I tuned in last night to YouTube for a little while, and heard Bob, he sounded so precious funny at the end, that made me cry, when he's like, you take care of my people. But did you say that Bob's going to be on and everybody else tuned in, or do we all tune in to a certain group?
You get on YouTube, Old Paths Baptist Church, and that's how,
okay.
Yeah. So you get to
hear. And everyone's just going to watch it,
yes,
from their homes, right?
Yes. They've divided out into groups of like 10 to 20 people, depending on which state they're in, Missouri or Kansas.
Okay. I did hear that, but I wasn't sure. Each group was like just separate or they still tuning into YouTube with mom.
Yeah. But you know, if you get online, I think they always like to know who's on. So if you want to, in the whatever where you can type
comments.
In your name, the comments,
yeah,
you know, let them know you're there, because they're always
send
glad to know.
Send an email.
So you can either get on the website and then use the live link.
That was Jerry.
That was Finley. The link to YouTube to view that.
In the comments, or dog or
And yeah, I sure wish we could see everybody's faces. Maybe we all need to take a walk with like social distancing outside. If we ever have a nice day, we could gather. And I know we could walk around Holmes Lake. We'll throw that out.
We would
there.
Love that.
Yeah, someday
yes,
when it's warm enough.
Or maybe at the dog park.
Let's do the dog park. Oh, so if Jesse can protect Maggie.
Oh, yeah, Jesse.
What did you say, Carolyn?
If Jesse can protect Maggie.
Daddy's
get so big.
Aww.
Okay, on Saturday, it'll be super nice. It'll be
they
in
the
60s.
They have
seriously, you guys, let's consider that. Someday when it's nice enough, we all meet at the park.
Yeah, everyone except Peter. Yes.
Make sure he has a work shift.
With Peter.
Yeah, Peter, what's your work next?
Yeah.
All right, can everybody hear us okay? We'll have Jared and Crane in.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you want to make sure they can hear you?
Okay. Can you guys hear me if I put it right here?
Yes, sounds great.
I can hear you.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes, we can.
You're going to mute and try to hold your voice.
Okay.
Okay. Love you all.
Love you. We still know you're there. It's okay. Okay.
Alrighty. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you again for just the church family you've given us, Lord, and the opportunity that even in this crazy time that we have something that's secure and something that's stable. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. And just thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. Help us to just be extra diligent in these kind of interesting times, Lord, to see the extra opportunities and the new situations that we can be a part of. And I pray you'd help us to be diligent and wise. Please give Kenzie the words to say and just help her to be able to get across what you've put on her heart tonight. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, you guys can all turn to the book of Colossians. So I know that you guys have all been coming through the New Testament. You know, going through the stories of the New Testament, and then now you're in Paul's letters to the churches. And, you know, you probably know that by now that each church, each letter kind of deals with a different set of issues or topics related to it. And we're going to talk a little bit about Colossians tonight, but the topic that we're going to mostly talk about is the issue of legalism. And just to put like a quick definition to legalism, you know, it's not a word that's found in the Bible, but you'll hear it thrown out today. And if you break down the word, you know, it has the ending ism, which, you know, basically is used as to mean like a practice or a following of something. You know, we hear words like intellectualism, that like is somebody who follows their intellect, you know, optimism, you're like practicing a kind of optimal outlook on life, or, you know, we have these different like, you know, capitalism, communism, like a certain practice or following of like a certain, you know, kind of idea or, you know, just a, like a way of life. So a legalist, then if you break down the other part of that word legal, that, you know, we know that means law, like legal and law. So a legalist is someone who strictly practices and follows a law. So that's going to be, you know, our definition, and we'll see how, you know, people try to use that today in Christianity and why it's wrong. So just know, I guess, as we go through this, that there is so much more than, you know, just this one topic in Colossians, and it fits in really well with this book. You know, this is like one of the issues that church is facing, but there's like, I don't know, there's a lot there. Like, I was going through Colossians and there's just so much deep stuff on like who Christ is and, just, you know, our relationship between other Christians and the church. So just know, like, Bob has a really good outline on the website, and I'll do a quick outline of the chapters here, but tonight we're mostly just going to stick with the concept of legalism, and that like barely scratches the surface of Colossians. So just like putting my little, you know, plug out there for Colossians. And the first thing I want to do is actually go to the end of Colossians just to see something like really cool, and just to see how personal this book is to us. And I'll read verse 16, Colossians 4:16. It says, "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." So you guys all know and are well aware that there are seven churches laid out in Revelation that represent the seven periods of churches throughout history. And, you know, we all know, we've been through a lot of Bob's teaching and just the teachings on, you know, the seven churches. And we know that we're living in the last one, which is the Church of Laodicea. And this church is known for not so great things. It's known for being lukewarm, for being deceived into thinking that it's rich when it's actually said that it's miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And the interesting thing is that these seven churches in Revelation also line up with the seven churches that Paul writes to in his letters. And you can, you know, match up each church with the letters, and the Church of Laodicea lines up with the book of Colossians. So Colossians was written to the church at Colossae. And Colossae and Laodicea are only like 15 miles apart. So they're super close together. I mean, that's like if I think about 15 miles, that's like a half marathon, you know? So like I can like run that distance. Well, maybe not right now, but like you could. So, you know, they're super close together. And it says that in the verse that we just read, like Paul literally tells them to read the letter that he's writing to the Colossians at the Church of Laodicea also. So like this letter that we're reading here, like was read in Laodicea. So here's the cool thing about this. Like, you know, we all know that when you read and study the Bible, you have to get a context and know who he's speaking to. And, you know, sometimes he's speaking to the nation of Israel, sometimes he's talking to the church, sometimes Gentiles. And so the cool thing about this book, Colossians, is that, you know, as far as context is concerned, like this is the most direct book written to us, like you and me today. Like it's written to, you know, one, the church age. So like literally like the dispensation, the time period that we're living in, but more specifically, like to the church, you know, at Laodicea. So to like the church period that we're living in today. So, you know, like this book is super personal to me and like the time that I'm living in today. And it's going to tell us how to have a real relationship with the Lord, despite the church age that we're living in and despite the issues that we're facing. So I just thought that was really cool. And, just kind of makes, you know, Colossians a lot more real and personal and, you know, applicable to where we're at today. So the basic outline of Colossians is pretty simple. chapter 1 defines who Christ is and also goes over the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory, and how, you know, how could a perfect God dwell in sinful man. And then the second chapter is going to get into the issues that the church faces. The third chapter will be how to overcome those issues. And chapter 4 is how to walk amidst the Laodicean church period that we're in. So that just gives us like a basic outline. And our main passage to talk about legalism is going to be over in Colossians 2. And I'm going to start out, I'm going to read verses 16 through 23. So we'll tackle that here. It says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men? Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." So what's happening here is this goes back to the whole conflict of, you know, Jew versus Gentile, faith versus works that the early church is struggling with. And I listened to Chris's message from Ephesians, which was so good. And he like set up perfectly just the whole concept of like, you know, what the Jews were thinking during this time, and then like what the Gentiles were thinking, and how, you know, the Jews were so different. Like they were supposed to be set apart, but they were so peculiar. And, you know, they shaved their head a certain way, they dressed a certain way, they had their own language, they had these different feasts, they had one day a week where, you know, they refused to work. They were just different. And that's, you know, in the Old Testament, they were supposed to be set apart. But after Christ's death on the cross, you know, the church is not under the Old Testament law, it's under grace. And so you have these Gentiles getting saved, you know, and they start living in the freedom of a relationship with Christ. And these Jews come along and they're like, "Oh, great, you know, we're so happy that you worship our God too now. But, you know, we've been worshiping for quite some time now, and so we kind of know a lot about him. And, you know, I think you'd be a lot more pleasing to him if you didn't eat these certain kinds of meat. Lunch meat, just throw that. Just or you'd be a lot more pleasing to him if you kept the Sabbath, or, you know, you'd be a lot more pleasing to him if you looked, you know, a little bit more like us. You know, you kind of cut your hair a certain way, or, you know, here you wear these clothes." And the Gentiles are thinking, "Well, you know, that's kind of weird. Like this guy Paul that I talked to, you know, he didn't say anything about that. Like he just said that all I needed to do was, you know, accept Jesus' death as payment for my sins, and God would see me as sinless." And so that's kind of the just why this is even in here. Like these are the issues that they're facing and what they're struggling with. And the, you know, the issue is that the Jews are trying to put physical rules on a spiritual relationship with God. And that's really what legalism is it's trying to put something physical and apply it to something spiritual. So to get kind of the whole backstory, the whole application, we actually need to back up in chapter 2, because, you know, legalism is definitely, it's like an issue, but it's just one soldier in a whole army that we're fighting today called the world and the flesh. And so we got to get kind of a bigger picture of what we're dealing with. So go ahead and look at Colossians 2 verse 8. That says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So there's four things here that the world offers as basically cheap replacements for the word of God in men's lives. And the first one is philosophy. You know, the world is always going to put science over God. It's always going to, you know, prefer something that's physical and can be studied and can be analyzed and can be, you know, put under a microscope or studied through, you know, science. over God, which is spiritual and has to be believed. You know, the world just wants to make Christianity into a study. It wants to lump Christianity in with the rest of world religions. You know, they say, oh, it's just like Buddhism, or it's just like Hinduism or Judaism or Greek mythology. You know, it's just another one of those ways that man has tried to find purpose and happiness, you know, through history. And, you know, they make the Bible a study of, you know, classic literature, ancient texts. That's what they relegate it to. So, you know, the world is always going to want to study science, what's physical, over believing what's spiritual. And then the second one is vain deceit. And that's basically just empty promises that the world gives. You know, vanity, something that looks good, but it's actually empty on the inside. And deceit, you know, that's a snare or a trick, something that looks good, but it's a trap. And the world has plenty of these to offer, you know, plenty of empty lies that it tries to tell people of how they should basically spend their days. And, you know, things like, oh, you'll be happy when you make enough money, or you'll be happy if you find a job and something you love, or you'll be happy if you get a lot of stuff, or vice versa, you'll be happy if you try not to have a lot of stuff, or you'll be happy if you surround yourself with people that you love. And, you know, maybe these things are true for a while, or, you know, maybe someone spends their whole life chasing these things. But there's a day coming when these things get burnt up. You know, there's a way that which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the world that deceives you by making you think that what's truly important is the physical things here on earth, when really, you know, that's just vanity. And then the third one is the tradition of men. You'll see kind of a common theme here, but the world puts, you know, holiness, tries to attribute holiness to something earthly and physical. You know, it puts value on meaningless physical things like, you know, crosses, or, you know, symbols, things like even holidays, you know, what like ministers and priests wear, like priestly robes, you know, icons, or like holy water, you know, or like the Eucharist, like the Jesus bread that the Catholics pass around. So, you know, man is going to be all about those physical things that they try to make holy, and they're going to be all about, you know, traditions and repetition. And man would rather say, like, well, this is how we've always done it, than, well, this is how God says we should do it. So that's going to be like all your religions today, trying to put holiness on something that is worldly and earthly. And then the fourth one is the rudiments of the world. And rudiments, that word means fundamentals. It's basically just the basics, you know, the building blocks of something. And if you want to know what the world's basic values are, we won't go there, but if you look at Colossians 3 verses 5 and 8, you know, that names a few. And those basic building blocks of the world are basically going to be anything that satisfies the flesh, you know, anything that glorifies man and what he's doing on this earth. So that kind of sets up the big picture of what we're up against. And, you know, legalism is just like one element of that. And, you know, if you caught kind of the common theme between those four kind of deceits, or those four things that have replaced the word of God, that the world sets up, is that the world values that which is physical, that which satisfies the flesh, you know, science, tradition, man. And for me, like, I have to look at my life and think, you know, are those the things that I care about? Are those the things that I spend my time on? You know, is my life all about those physical things, just looking at, you know, this life and what's on this earth? So, so that kind of sets up like the issue that we're facing. And then, I'm going to keep reading here, and we'll look at, you know, why a Christian is supposed to be different. So verse 9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Then here's our verse. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. So you kind of see how like this all ties together. You know, like we started out looking at, you know, the issue of legalism and then the greater world issue. And then, you know, like this kind of ties them together, how the world, even though it values that which is physical and fleshly, when I got saved, I had a surgery done, an operation of God, you know, made without hands that cut my flesh away from my soul. You know, the flesh was the dead part of me. And now that that's cut away, my soul is now sinless. So I have two parts to me now that represent two births. One is physical, from a physical birth with my old sin nature, and the other is spiritual, from a spiritual birth with a new sinless nature. And my relationship with Christ, here's the key, is that my relationship and my fellowship with Christ is all through the new man, not the old one. And you can look at two verses and kind of compare the two. Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And then John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So I don't fellowship with the Lord through my flesh. You know, that's cut away. That's dead. That's as good as dead. Christ blotted out the law. That doesn't have any effect anymore. My fellowship with him has to be through my spirit. You know, that's prayer. That's reading my Bible, talking to him throughout the day. You know, what we're doing just now, you know, like singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, you know, like that ministers to your spirit. Spirit, you know, the spiritual things, like that's changing my heart. You know, that's changing who I am based on the principles of the Word of God. Whereas legalism, that's trying to change my actions based on rules. It's trying to fellowship with the Lord through the dead part of me, through the flesh. It's trying to please God with my flesh. You know, all it is, if we looked at the, you know, the four things that the world offers, all it is trying to apply the world's values, that which is physical, to my relationship with Christ, which is all spiritual. And, you know, if you look at in verse 20, it says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," like that's literally what we're just talking about in verse 8 there, you know, the basic building blocks of the world. That verse is saying, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? You know, if I'm dead to this world and alive in Christ, then why would I still be subject to worldly things? And there were people who thought that by, you know, doing these things a certain way, something physical, they could make themselves more acceptable or more pleasing to God. But God's saying, like, in verses 20 through 23, like, those are the doctrines of men. You know, I don't care about that stuff. Like, your flesh is dead to me. I'm looking at the new man. What, like, what's he doing? Does he care about me? You know, like, how's your spirit? You know, are you wanting to have fellowship with the Lord through your spirit instead of just being so focused on your flesh? So, you know, if these rules that man puts on himself, like if they're not necessary, if God doesn't care about them, then, you know, why do people follow this? Like, why is legalism still an issue today? Why does anybody put these kinds of rules on themselves? And verse 23 kind of gives us a little insight into that. And it says, you know, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So legalism can be anything that I do to try to make myself look more spiritual on the outside. You know, it's a show of wisdom, a show of worship, a show of humility. And it makes me look like I'm, you know, humble and neglecting the body and, you know, like, oh, look at me, like I'm so spiritual. I'm, you know, I'm neglecting the flesh. But, you know, really, it's just the outward appearance, the outward show. And it says that, you know, like it's not in any honor. Really, it's just to, you know, to change my actions on the outside. And something to keep in mind is that, you know, rules change our actions, but principles change our heart. And that's really what God wants to get at, is our heart and change from the inside out. And so just some examples of this, like looking at kind of the heart attitude behind things. So you guys probably are aware, like what all the Catholics are doing right now. Like we're in the time of Lent and giving up things and fasting. And, you know, that's like a lot of people, even like non, giving up social interactions. Yeah, that's true. You know, even like people outside the Catholic Church do this too, but, you know, I don't know, like, I don't think God gives like two flips whether you eat fish or meat on a Friday. Like, I don't know. They just make it so rule based and, you know, like, oh, there's, okay, here's your rules for Lent and fasting. And, you know, it's just a show. Like, it's just changing the actions that they think makes them more spiritual. And, you know, if it's just following a rule, then it's just done in the flesh. And that doesn't mean anything to God. And it is possible to fast the right way, to deny your flesh something and to, you know, grow your relationship with the Lord by choosing to give up, you know, something in your life. So there's a right way to fast, but it has to be done in the right heart attitude, and it has to be done biblically. And the Bible lays that out. But again, it comes back to your heart. You know, are you focused on building that relationship with the Lord? Or are you just focused on, you know, looking good out on the outside? And then, you know, another thing is like, you know, what people wear. Like, some people believe that, you know, dressing up for church or looking a certain way makes you more spiritual, closer to God. But again, it just comes back to the heart attitude. You know, is my heart attitude to please man and, you know, to have a certain outward appearance, or is it to please God and just to have the right heart attitude that I just want to serve and honor him and have a good testimony? So that's just another example. And then, you know, another one is, you know, your ministries, the things that you do for the Lord. You know, do you think that being, you know, super involved in a bunch of stuff and being busy with a bunch of church things, you know, makes you more spiritual? But what really is the heart attitude behind doing those things? You know, is it just to look spiritual, to look a certain way, or is it to, you know, truly just give the Lord your whole life? And there's a story that illustrates this really well over in Luke 10. It's the story of Mary and Martha, so you can go ahead and turn there. Just read that real quick. Luke 10:38. That says, verse 38 says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So, like, this is the story. Like, Martha received Jesus into her house. So this, you know, we can make the picture that this is like a saved person, somebody that's received Jesus into their life. But the problem is that Martha is focused on the physical things. She's focused on her work for the Lord and the outward appearance of that. Mary is focused on the spiritual. She's focused on, you know, the inward appearance, her relationship with the Lord. And Martha, you know, from anybody looking in, you know, it might look like she's doing what's right. She's working hard. You know, she's just busying herself, you know, getting all the food ready and, you know, just wanting to, you know, just give something to the Lord and just super busy with it. And she's working, but there's no joy in her life. You know, hard work and being busy can look really spiritual, but it also, you know, can be not producing any fruit. It can be producing envy and strife and bitterness. And the difference between those two things of what our work produces is our heart. You know, are we doing the things that we think are valuable instead of doing the things that are actually valuable to the Lord? And Mary, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, finding out what was valuable to the Lord. You know, she was hearing his word. And Martha, you know, she's cumbering herself about much serving. And then, you know, she finally gets fed up with Mary, you know, like, oh my gosh, I've just been slaving away in this kitchen all day. And, you know, there she is. She's still just sitting there. Like, doesn't she see what I'm doing? And, you know, finally she's like, Jesus, could you please, like, tell her to help me or something. And Jesus is not impressed. He does not think that, you know, all this work that Martha's doing, he's like, I don't care about that. He's like, you're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and that's what Mary's doing. You know, she's choosing to sit at my feet and to just be a tool for me to submit to my will and find out what I think is valuable, you know, whereas you're careful and troubled about just doing the things that you think are valuable. And so for me, like my life, you know, what are the things that I'm careful and troubled about and worried about? You know, am I worried about what I look like to others? Am I worried about whether or not people like me or what people think about me? Am I worried about, you know, my job or school or money or friends or all those things? You know, none of those things deserve my care and deserve my worry. Jesus says that one thing is needful, and that's just sitting at his feet, hearing his word, finding out what he wants me to do, making myself available to be used according to his will. And Martha is a picture of a Christian who's looking around. She's looking around at what other people are doing, looking around at other Christians. Mary is a picture of a Christian who is looking up at Jesus. And, you know, legalism gives us a measure, basically a rule to compare between other Christians or compare ourselves with other Christians. You know, we start thinking like, oh, well, I'm not that bad. Like, at least I'm not wearing that to church, you know, or, hey, I'm doing way more for the Lord than they are. Like, you know, I'm working my butt off over here and I'm super busy and I can't do any of the things that I want to do because of all this ministry stuff. And how come none of these people are helping me? You know, but if my focus is on Christ, then what does it matter what other people around me are doing? I should be comparing my life to him instead of the people around me. So again, remember that it's the world. The world is the one that puts value on physical things, not the Christian. So if we go back to Colossians, there's just a few more verses. And the cool thing about the Bible is that, she just talked about this in discipleship, the Bible always shows us what's right and what's wrong. So the wrong way to do something, but also the right way to do something. So if we turn back over to Colossians and we keep going with our passage here, if you look in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, going to tell us the solution to all this. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So these things, you know, these three verses sum up in a great way what we've been talking about. You know, if you're saved, then your place is in heaven with Christ. It's, you know, this world is not your home. Your place is not here on this earth. So seek the things above, you know, instead of being so focused on the physical things of this earth, all the rules and, you know, trying to put physical rules on your spiritual relationship with the Lord, seek the things above. And, you know, guess what else? Like verse 3, you're dead. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Romans 6:11 is a great verse that, you know, we all need to live every day. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So every day I need to wake up and think, I'm dead to this world. Like, I'm a dead man walking, because a dead man doesn't care about this world. You know, he's dead. He doesn't care about all the physical things that are happening on this earth. And I need to think that the life that I'm living, you know, the life that I have is in Christ. It's the spiritual things. And those are the things that I need to be considering and changing about myself, or, you know, where my heart is at. So we know that, you know, God has called us to do a work, and, you know, he does have something that he wants us to do. But that's not, you know, the process is to first have a right relationship with him, and that will be what produces the right fruit. You know, that's going to produce the right work for him. I have to start with the spiritual, you know, having a right relationship with him and having a true heart change in order to produce the right fruit and work for him. And so, you know, legalism is trying to do things backwards. It's trying to change my actions without ever changing my heart. So that is actually all that I have on legalism. Actually, went a lot faster than I thought.
Excellent.